Hackers got into a billion accounts, billion with a B. This includes passwords. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Yahoo has been hacked. This time it's a big one. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood is following this.
So what we know is that Yahoo has announced yet another hack and that it affects up to a billion user accounts. That is essentially most of Yahoo's customers and about one in seven Americans. We know that the breach, the hack, is separate from the one that Yahoo previously announced that affected 500 user accounts. It occurred back in 2013, and some of the information that has been hacked includes usernames, dates of birth, personal information up to and including your encrypted password.
Verizon is in the process of buying Yahoo. It's a nearly $5 billion deal announced in late July.
There were already suggestions that Verizon was really concerned about finding out about the last hack, especially because it sounds like Yahoo had been notified that it had security issues and didn't do enough to correct them. And that led to the release of what was previously one of the world's biggest hacks. And when you add in a billion accounts on top of that, I think that a company like Verizon has to start to look really seriously about whether it's getting compromised data and whether any users at this point are going to stay with Yahoo, which frankly seems unlikely.
Now, that's the thing about Yahoo. Lots of accounts that Verizon had coveted, and so it seems did the hackers.
You do have to assume that maybe some of the billion user accounts include some of the 500 million user accounts, but the number does give you an idea of Yahoo's scale. And this is why this company, you know, when you look back at the conversations about who might buy Yahoo, this is why. It is a tremendous number of users. It's a tremendous amount of data. And so all of the things that made it a potentially attractive acquisition target also, as you can see, made it a very attractive hacking target.
Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood reporting from Silicon Valley adjacent. So, Federal Reserve policymakers yesterday did what virtually everyone expected. Short-term interest rates went up about 0.5%. Fed Chair Janet Yellen thinks the U.S. economy is decent and will, quote, continue to perform well.
Over the past year, 2.25 million net new jobs have been created. Unemployment has fallen further, and inflation has moved closer to our longer-run goal of 2%.
And the Fed's getting what it asked for this morning. Interest rates are going up. The 10-year Treasury yield is up sharply at 2.62% this morning. White House, Senate, House of Representatives, all under one-party control, should imply some kind of tax reform. Part of that, the corporate tax rate, 35%, but close to 40% at the top tier. Companies like to point out that the top rate is the third highest in the world after the United Arab Emirates and Chad. But note that elected officials can lower the corporate tax rate without actually lowering taxes for some or many companies. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell keeps a close watch on this and has been playing around with an alternative that has some fans in high places. Hi, Chris.
Hello, David.
So the headline tax rate for corporations, that may be coming down in this next Congress, but that's not the end of the story.
You know, businesses build their operations, particularly global businesses, around the tax code. I mean, they hire really smart people who figure out, well, we're not going to pay this statutory 35% rate that's charged here in the U.S. We're going to get it down to what? 0 to 10%? These are the numbers that I see with Apple, General Electric, Google. And so this notion of that's a standard in tax reform is you're going to lower the rate. And in order to lower the rate, you get rid of these deductions and credits, right? Well, what if you do that and the tax rate would actually go up for a lot of multinational corporations?
So there's that process, figuring out exactly what the bottom line taxes that these companies might pay under a reformed system. I just put air quotes around reformed. But when you lower taxes, if it does lower taxes, that, in fact, will lower what the government is bringing in.
Right. And we all have that suspicion about supply-side economics. I mean, yes, you're going to get something of a boost, but not enough of a boost to make up the gap. But, David, I have a radical solution.
Okay.
I say, let's impose a carbon tax.
But wait, a carbon tax in an administration where the possible Secretary of State is the CEO of ExxonMobil? When's that going to happen?
Okay, so this is the twist that is being underestimated. Rex Tillerson, head of ExxonMobil. ExxonMobil in 2009 was the first major oil company to come out in favor of a carbon tax. The reason why ExxonMobil wants a carbon tax is, look, it's a global company, and it needs a global stable regulatory environment. And it also recognizes the way the world is going. The world is going toward embracing sustainability. So I say, I think there is a possibility of shifting the terms of the conversation. We can drive down the corporate tax rate and at the same time, keep government revenue healthy.
All right. The Chris Farrell holiday wish list, apparently. Does this have a snowball's chance in Hades of becoming policy?
I do think it has a small snowball's chance. How's that?
All right. We'll see how it plays out. Chris Farrell, Marketplace's senior economics contributor. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And Donald Trump's choice of that ExxonMobil CEO for Secretary of State has drawn some skepticism from some Republicans and Democrats who will decide on his confirmation. But ExxonMobil is pretty sure Mr. Tillerson will get it. There's news that Exxon's board has decided the company's president, Darren Woods, will succeed Tillerson as CEO effective January 1st. People watching this say Woods was a longtime heir apparent over there. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.